The following program is brought to you by the 511 Media Group. This program is available on iTunes, Spotify, the 511 Media Group YouTube channel, and 511mediagroup.com.
Welcome back to Play It Loud. I'm Rich.
I'm frozen.
What's up? So, episode 4, season 2, we are doing another concert review, and this concert review is one that it was the first time that we had seen two of the bands, first time you had seen all three of the bands, and first time we've both seen two of the bands. I had seen one of the bands previous, right?
Have we seen Sanasonia before?
Oh, that's right. No, you're right. My bad. Okay, let me take that back. It was the first time we saw Blackstone Cherry together.
Yep.
And at all, first time ever. We were supposed to see them last year, and that date in their concert lineup got canceled at the last minute for...
I think it was the venue, honestly.
Still apparently no reason. We didn't get any answer. We didn't get an official answer from the venue. We didn't get an official answer from the band. Nobody gave an official answer. I just got my money back. So we were supposed to see them last year, did not, and then they came out with these dates, so I got these tickets. Sanasonia, we saw with Skillet in an arena, which that's one way to see them, and the arena was not full. And they were opening, they were the first band of three, so people were still kind of filling in.
They didn't perform that many songs either. It was only five or six.
Five or six, yeah. So I didn't really get a good, rounded look at their body of work. And a lot of the songs they did, I think three of the songs they did were Three Days Grace songs. When we saw them with Skillet and I'm drawing a blank.
Theory of a Dead Man.
Theory of a Dead Man, thank you. The Resurrection Rock Tour. And then we saw Any Given Sin, which opened up for them. Now, I had seen them previously with Ryan. And that was at the Saliva concert. So it was Any Given Sin, Adelita's Way, and Saliva. And we had seen them. And then Drowning Pool, but we didn't stick around for that. So we had seen them. And they were really good at the Forge in Joliet. So for this particular concert, we had to get there. It was in Belvedere, which is kind of an out in the middle of nowhere town here in Illinois.
Closer to Rockford. It's more of the familiar
right. It's
area.
Basically a Rockford suburb. And the venue that they had there, had the show at last April of 23.
It's really that long ago. Mm-hmm. I feel like it happened at the end of the year.
Mm-mm. Happened in April. So in April of 23, a tornado went through Belvedere and did a ton of destruction. It went through the town, went through downtown, and they had a concert going on at the time.
It was
a heavy metal concert at the time. I forget who was playing there, but
I didn't know the band.
But the roof caved in because of the tornado. And so where the roof caved in was basically the stage area, kind of where we were, if you will, for this concert. So it was right above that. And that all caved in and the main general admission area. And so no one died in the theater, but across the street.
I thought somebody did die at the theater.
I don't know if
there was like one or two that died.
Possibly. There was in the building across the street. It was an office building with some storefronts on the bottom. And there was a few people that died in there. But this was the first venue at the Apollo Theater since that accident. So this was the first one since then. So it was interesting because there used to be an awning out front of the building. There is no longer an awning outside of the building, and there's two air conditioning units, which is interesting. But we had meet and greet tickets for Sanasonia. And so we had to get there at 5 o'clock. We had to be there by 5 o'clock. And we got there about a minute to 5, maybe 5 o'clock. We were the last ones in there. And when we got there, the band hadn't come out yet or anything. So we had some time. They had merch tables out, but nobody was manning them yet. And we were given a lanyard we were given a coffee cup.
A mug.
Right?
Yeah. It's actually quite a nice mug. I haven't cleaned it yet, but.
Yeah, it's not bad if you like coffee.
It was different. I've never gotten a mug before.
That's exactly what I said when I got it. I was like, never gotten one of these before. We got a poster, a signed poster of them in front of a crowd, like turned around in front of a crowd, and they all signed it.
Which they do before the show, if you look at their Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And then we got to, you know, take pictures with them and meet them and so forth. And so they came out, took pictures with them.
I think we need to rank our meet and greets at some point.
Well, I've got some without you. I think, do you have some without me or no?
No.
Okay, so I've got a few without you.
I've met bands without you, but not a VIP.
Correct. I don't know. We probably should not do it now, but I think there has, and I talked about this with Ryan in episode 2 of this season. We talked about what would we do different for concerts, and my idea was, and I know you haven't listened to it yet because it's just coming out, but my idea was all three, like if you have three bands, all three bands have to do the meet and greet. There's a section over here for this band. There's a section over here for this band. There's a section over here for this band. You pay more to get into the meet and greet. So let's say your meet and greet was $50 for this band, which it wasn't. It was more than that. But let's say it's $100. Well, you're paying $200. Now that $200, a portion of it goes to each of the bands.
I don't think I'd want to do that though.
Really? Why not?
Because a lot of times I don't know the other bands. Like usually I'm going for one or two bands tops, and I wouldn't want, and also like, I feel like it could be a little degrading to the other bands. Cause like if all these people go to these other two and like you get maybe a person.
No,
or
I'm
not,
saying you have, they have stations. So you all, you get, know, to go, like, to each of the bands.
But some people might not go to the bands they don't like or don't know, you know, I feel like.
But what if you were able to meet a band now that is popular in the future? Meaning, so let's say Falling in Reverse. Let's say you met them 15 years ago and you did a meet and greet with them and you got a picture with Ronnie 15 years ago. You'd kind of cherish that picture.
But how many people do you think would actually view that perspective and do that, do you think?
I don't know. That's why it was
my suggestion.
Well,
and plus, I feel like meet and greets are just so goddamn expensive now that, like,
they are very expensive.
I'm not getting a lot of what I paid for. Like, the Beartooth meet and greet we have coming up. That was probably one of the best deals I've ever seen. You get an exclusive merch item. You get a signed vinyl. You get a tote bag. You get a lanyard. You get to meet the band. And I don't know if they
probably
do like sound checks.
Shit. Probably get some signed shit or whatever.
I think, or you get to get something signed. You know, I mean, you get something signed usually when you go to a meet and greet. It just depends on what you get. But I feel like that was worth the money and your ticket was included. So like.
Right.
You got all of that for $150. Like, that's a fucking steal.
Well, when we do the review for Beartooth, and it's this coming Friday, we'll talk about that because we'll be able to say, was it worth it?
But I guess the point leading into that conversation is I was a little let down by the VIP experience.
Mm.
I think the guys were really nice. I think.
Super nice.
I think they're very nice. But at the end of the day, like, it felt very impersonal.
The meet and greets that we've done that I enjoyed
maybe
the most.
Maybe we got spoiled with some of the other ones.
I think we did. Bad Flower was a very, very good meet and greet because you got to sit and interact with the band. They took questions.
They walked around and talked to people.
They took questions.
Hands Like Houses was like that.
Hands Like Houses. They did a little acoustic set. Each of those guys did acoustic sets.
Smash Into Pieces. You got to talk to them.
They did a couple of songs. Yeah, you were able to ask them questions and so forth. So those are the interactive ones
I think
I like
those
the best.
One of the ones that this reminded me of was Daughtry. Daughtry, you walked up, you said hello, took a picture, and you left. They didn't do anything.
That's how a lot of them are. Three Doors Down was like that too.
But you at least got to talk to them like at the table as they were signing. So like you got to actually interact with them and take a picture.
I suppose.
So it wasn't the worst. It was very like nice because it felt personal. Like you went through each station and they talked to you.
So what would
you
have done different with this one?
Even just like a sound
check. Do you think
they
should have done like one acoustic song?
Or just like answer some questions or just take some time outside of the picture taking to do something. Or even if they had, you know, the tables to sign things, like it just felt impersonal. And and it's nothing to them. Like, I don't know their schedule. I don't know what they have to do, but it just didn't feel worth what you paid for, if that makes sense.
Because it basically took a half an hour to go through the process that we went through. And then we had an hour before we could get back into the show.
My total interaction with the band was maybe a minute long. Maybe. And that's generous, because you walked up, you shook their hands. I said I was cold to every single one of them. Sorry, I'm cold. They said
your hands
names.
Were cold.
It
that
felt
day.
Like it felt like a business interaction.
Mm. Okay, so
they had a great playlist going on in the background, though. I was vibing.
It
the
was
playlist.
Was a good playlist.
Trying to keep myself warm.
Played a few Shinedown songs and
bunch
a few
of nothing
other
more.
And the guys were, like you said, the guys were all very nice.
Right.
Very
and
nice.
And I know they care about their fans, because like they post all the time on social media. They comment on things. They're mm-hmm. very involved. But I just wish their meet and greet was a little more.
Adam looks a lot bigger. And like
he's
on
huge.
Stage.
He's tall.
Well, I'm 6'5", and I'm a big dude. And so he's not as big as me. But when
he
you is, stand next to him,
he's a lot taller
he's
than
big
I thought
dude.
He was.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Like, I'm going to look at the pictures now, because I want to see kind of the height thing. What did you think of the fact that we could get back in, like the merch experience? The one thing I told the tour manager or whatever he was, is I said, you know, what would have been nice is if you guys had somebody manning the tables, and the people who paid all of this money for the meet and greets, they could get their stuff at the merch tables,
so,
and then take the stuff, because we were going out of the venue. Right, because we were going out of the venue so we could put it in our car.
Because I feel like every other meet and greet that we've had, they had it lined up to where you just waited inside. You got to go do your merch, you got to go to your seat or your stand, wherever you wanted to, and you could right. do whatever you wanted, but you didn't have to leave the venue physically
yeah,
during
I mean,
those times.
He's a pretty big dude. I mean, I'm a bit taller than him, but he's a good sized guy. That's the one thing I would have changed, was I would have liked to seen the merch table be open when we got there.
That didn't bother me, but again, like, I don't really get bothered by that stuff, but I just wish it was a little more personal. I just feel like I didn't really get to interact too much with them. Like, there are some people that did a little bit longer because they gave them stuff, or they
right,
had,
they
them
had a tattoo
stuff.
To sign, or they took pictures with their tattoo, or yeah, they had a drum head to sign, or they were talking to them, or what. And we could have made it that, I
right.
suppose,
I just,
if we
I didn't
had something.
Really, I guess, have anything to say. Like, that's where, you know, sometimes
we didn't
Q&As,
bring anything to have them sign. So I suppose if I brought like a guitar to, like, if I brought one of my guitars to have them sign, that would have been, you know, that would have been fine, and then we could have interacted a little more or whatever. But I guess if you're paying that kind of money to meet the band, what are you doing? Are you paying for a picture? Right. I guess, right? And if you know that up front and you accept that, then can't really bitch, right?
Right.
So I kind of felt that's what it was, which is fine. You know, you got a minute to talk to the band. Hey, guys,
like
how
the
you
merch
doing?
That they gave us
appreciate
was very
your music.
Nice. The sign
no doubt.
Poster was great. The
no doubt.
Was nice.
Certainly. I think if here's what I would do for the merch. For if you're paying $75 to meet the band, whatever, make it $100 and throw in a T-shirt. Right? Like a signed T-shirt or a VIP T-shirt. Just for your VIP guest, have it something different than everybody else can get. What's that?
I think that's what Beartooth did.
Get something different that nobody else can buy. Like one of the guys, the tour guy, had a Santa Sonia hat on. It was a black hat with their logo, the little triangle logo, stitched in the front. And I go, hey, where'd you get that? I said, that's a pretty cool hat. He said it was from the last tour. I said, can you still get it? He said, no. I'm like, oh, okay. That's interesting. But they should have, if you're paying for a meet and greet, maybe you should have exclusive access to some other merchandise. Even if you have to pay for it, you should just
okay,
have some.
So this one, for Beartooth, for example, okay. And this is why I was like, holy shit, this is such a good deal. And I sent it to you when I saw it, because I was like, I know it's expensive, but like, it looks good. So like, to give a perspective of.
Do you know how much it was?
It was about $150, I think, a person, right?
Oh.
Wasn't that about what it was?
Maybe 125.
Something. It was
something. Like that.
It was a little yeah. over 100. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't above like 150 though. I know
okay.
that.
All right.
So it comes with your ticket.
Yep.
You get the meet and greet. Mm-hmm. You get an exclusive VIP souvenir, which is the lanyard. You get a tote bag, with the snake on it. You get a pink vinyl record, with the actual vinyl, like the record itself is pink too. You get a signed poster, and you get early entry/priority entry, and you get priority merch shopping.
Okay.
all within this. So I don't know if there's more to the meet and greet. But, I mean, that's...
Are you saying that you don't know if you even get to meet the band?
No, you do get to meet them. Oh, okay. I'm saying, like, I don't know if there's more to it. Like, if they have, like a mini performance.
I got you.
You know, I don't know what they do. I don't know if they ask you questions. Like, I don't know.
Well, so we got back in it. We got back in an hour later, and we were able to get our merch, and it was fine. And the thing about the merch, and I was talking to Ryan about this yesterday, he couldn't believe when I told him how much it was. But so there was three tables. One of them was for Any Given Sin. Then there was a table for Saint Asonia, and then there was a table for Blackstone Cherry. And you had to stand in each line to get through it, which is fine. So we each got a shirt from Saint Asonia, a long sleeve shirt. It was a nice shirt. It's
okay. Also, different. But they were huge. Like, I think it was.
I haven't tried mine on yet.
It was unisex sizing. Like, I haven't tried it on since I washed it.
Nothing's
tried
really it huge on me.
I tried, like, usually the XLs that I get, like, are just a little bit baggy, just so, like, they're more of like a comfort, like, for lounging type shirt. And that's what I got for this, and it was massive.
Yeah, you just have to shrink it a little bit. So we got a couple shirts, and then we got into the Blackstone Cherry line, and I'm actually wearing one of the hats now. I got a couple hats and a sticker. But then I looked over, and you had gone after we had walked in, you went up to the rail. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what do you want? You told me the shirt you wanted. So you're up at the rail securing a spot, like spread out so nobody can get next to you, which I appreciated. Thank you. And I got all the stuff. And then I get back with a tote because they give me a tote. I didn't have to buy it. It was like $5. The guy gave it to me. It was great. Because I was going to go out and put my stuff in the car. And I'm like, the guy told me I have to get back in line. The big, long-ass main line. I go, why the hell, as a VIP, why would I do that? Why would I pay all this money to go stand in that fucking line? So, no, I'm not going to do that. So I put all my stuff in the bag. And when I got over there, we were going through it. And I showed you, I had a vinyl, the Blackstone Cherry Screaming at the Sky vinyl. And it was signed. And you're like, well, how much the fuck did that cost you? And what did I tell you?
$25.
Before I even finished the sentence, $25, you were already turned around and you were... I had to go pee.
I was just saying,
you like beelined over there.
After I went, yeah.
And
I
you
went
got, and
got
and you got one.
Well, because I couldn't.
Ryan thinks
it
was mislabeled. He goes, maybe it should have been $125 or $75 or something. Because the vinyls themselves these days can be upwards of $30.
Yeah. I've like all the vinyls I've bought have been more expensive than that. And they're not signed. They're not.
Have you looked at this one? Did you look at it yet?
No, I didn't.
It's white. So it's a white vinyl.
You put it right into the thing for me, that's so I didn't get a chance to look at it.
Well, you could have opened it. But so I have it in a frame, and it's signed, and the album cover is cool as fuck. I mean, it's their album cover. The album cover for Screaming at the Sky is really cool. And it's all signed, but it was $25, and I couldn't believe it was $25. It had to be a misprint, but it's $25.
No, I couldn't resist when you said that. I was like, damn. I was like,
so we each got one
really
of those,
good.
Which was great. You know what I mean? That was awesome. And then we had to wait. The show started at
7?
No, doors opened at 7.
No, doors opened at 6. We got in at 5:30. Started at 7.
No. The meet and greet was at 5. We got out of there at 5:30. We had to come back at 6:30. The doors opened at 7. We were there for a half an hour, and the show started at 8.
My bedtime.
So we had to wait for an hour and a half for the show to start. We stood at that rail.
It was pretty rough.
I was
that
already,
was the worst part.
Right. By the time the show started, my legs were already hurting. My feet were already hurting, but whatever. So Any Given Sin comes on. You hadn't seen them yet. Mm-mm. I had seen them. And they did a great job. Let me go back and find one of their videos from... I'm not going to do that. You know what? I'm not going to do that. So what did you think of them?
They're really good.
Okay, so the one thing that I would say is they're really good live. When you hear Dynamite, you're like, oh, is that Shinedown? Is that Brent Smith? But the more you actually listen to the song and the more you hear him live, there's no comparison. And Brent Smith is light years above. A little bit, but I mean, it's just that song. I think that song alone. Everything else, no. The one complaint I have is they didn't play the song Cold Bones, which off their new album. They decided to play some of the older stuff, which is fine, whatever. But most people who have heard of them recently know their new album. So I haven't, in the two times that I've seen them, they haven't played that. I wish they would have played that. But if you noticed, they had played the night before, so they this was a back to back, and we've been saying on this podcast forever that back to backs are a bad idea, because you just don't get the same quality, I don't think, in the performance from some of the people who don't have the same vocal range or vocal strength that others do. And it was apparent with Any Given Sin. He tried to hit some of the higher notes or tried to hit some of the notes that he had to carry, and he just couldn't do it. And
he looked frustrated too. Like, he looked
pissed. Get it. No, I totally get it.
And plus, in the beginning, they had some feedback issues with his mic.
He did, and he was frustrated with that.
He was getting pissed at that because he's like, what the fuck? Like, do you not hear that?
Right. Like, you go through the whole sound check, and I have to deal with this on the very first song, the very first opening riff of the first song.
Because he couldn't move from a certain spot because the mic would screech.
But then, if you noticed, about halfway through the first song, it popped, and then you couldn't hear him for about the first half of the song. And then all of a sudden, boom. Oh, there he was.
Yeah, no,
now
he
you
literally
can hear
said,
him.
Hey guys, there's a lot of feedback in the front here. Can you fix that for me? And then he kept singing and
all
whatever.
Of a sudden you could hear him.
No, but I felt bad because he looked really
He was
pissed.
Drinking hot tea, I think, out of that thermos or whatever he had, that big cup.
He looked disappointed that he wasn't able to perform to the best of his ability, and maybe he wasn't feeling well.
Maybe that's it too, and he couldn't say anything, but had you not seen them before, maybe you didn't know. Maybe you wouldn't have caught it. So maybe you
but
didn't
But everybody
catch
in
it.
The crowd that had never seen them said they were really good.
Right. But I had seen them when he was carrying those notes in Joliet. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a problem. So that's the only feedback that I would give of their set. But otherwise, they're very, very good. I think they're underrated. I did get a shirt from them in Joliet. I really like it. Black shirt, red lettering, Any Given Sin. They're really good. If you listen to their stuff, they do a fantastic job. And they played for about a half an hour. So they played till about 8:30. And they did a really good job. Really enjoyed them. Then there was a little break. I think you went to the bathroom. I stayed there. I didn't move for 5 hours. I just stood
there.
Yeah,
no, I got more water
but
for us.
For people who haven't been to that venue, which the majority of the people, 99% of the people listening to this have never been to that venue. We were right up on the rail, like literally the rail that separated the stage from us.
It was a pretty close stage to the rail too.
And it's an intimate venue, meaning it's a little smaller. It's kind of like a House of Blues type venue.
But different. Yeah, it's a theater for sure. Like theater structure. They have open seating and balcony seating.
So then they came out. Santa Sonia came out. And this is one of the first songs that they did.
During their set, did they sound a little, like in the beginning, did it sound like they were a little off? Like they weren't?
It sounded like the speakers weren't working or something.
It felt like their feedback in their headphones wasn't right. It felt like their timing was off. Because like, if you know their music like pretty well, at least songs that you like, I was like, are they a little off right now? Or am I just hearing it wrong? Because, you know, by the time Santa Sonia was done, my ears were fucking shot.
The one thing that was distracting was there was like eight photographers in front of us.
Yeah, there were
to
a lot
start
of
that out. And I was like, where the fuck are all these guys from? Like,
well, and then there was the roadie's girlfriend that was walking through with her phone.
With her phone. And I was like, what are all these people doing in front of it? It was just distracting. And then they kind of went away by the third or fourth song.
Their main photographer was there throughout the whole thing.
Right, but all those other guys, I think they just got a couple of songs worth of either video or photography. And they might have just been from the local press or something, maybe a Rockford paper or Belvedere or whatever.
So they do need content, whatever, to promote, you know.
But what we did talk about, Ryan and I talked about in our first episode of this season, was that how many bands are touring or how many bands now don't have their original members. Santa Sonia is one of those bands. The only original member touring right now of that band was
those
Adam.
Those guys were with them though.
I understand, but two of their guys, one of their guitarists is playing with Seether and the other is playing with Stained. So two of their band members are playing with other bands on tour right now. So the three members behind Adam, they're all not part of the band. They're just fill-ins.
They
were
there when we saw him last, though. At least the bassist was. I remember him.
I don't doubt that because we didn't see them that long ago. But I'm just saying, for the touring,
they sounded clean, though. I mean,
oh, they've been practicing.
Besides,
I'm sure.
besides the you know, hiccup with the, I think it's the feedback. When that feedback gets messed up in their ears, it throws off everything.
The one thing I will say is when you see a band at a regular concert and you're, even if you're in the pit and you're five or six rows back or whatever, or if you're in a seat and you're 12th row, or any of the other seats that, you know, you can imagine being in halfway, you know, through the arena or whatever, being on the rail is a completely different experience. 100% completely different experience.
It's kind of scary when they were like, so Any Given Sid had little like stands for their guitarists. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of scary when they were standing over me. I'm like, holy shit, they're so big.
Right there. Like if he fell, he would fall almost right into us. There was a little bit of gap between us and the stage. Like not enough for people to walk through. But like when we were at Volbeat and Hailstorm, we were kind of up on the rail, right? We were like
we're
maybe
on the side rail.
Two or three deep off the rail. We were on the side rail. But yeah, two or three deep. But it still didn't feel that close. This felt like you could reach out and touch him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was this video or the next one. I'm filming it, and the guy flicked the guitar pick, and it hit
me
in the hand, and you caught it. It went onto your shirt or something, and you picked it up.
I dropped it, but
which
yeah.
was pretty funny. I was like, okay.
I still have it in my wallet, actually. I keep forgetting to take it out.
And then I've got one that was on the ground. You got a yellow one, right?
Yeah, I got.
And I got a black one that was on the ground, and I asked the security guy to come over, and he grabbed it for me.
The one thing I think you did that was a little mean was they threw
a
out
little what?
A little mean was they
you
were
thought
throwing
that
out
was
some
mean?
Merch. They were throwing out some merch. They
it
had
was
some
a hat.
Hats, and you
two
reached
beanies.
In front of a girl and grabbed it. And I was like,
hey, it was
that
a reaction.
Was a little savage.
No, it was a reaction. First of all, I got it for you and it's sitting up on my desk. So it's yours. Second of all, he threw the first one out in the crowd, and then he kind of threw it, the second one, he threw to his side, like he crossed his body and threw it, and my hand was, it was a reaction thing, like it passed you, it passed everybody else, and I just reached out and grabbed it, and I saw the girl's hand behind mine, but I'm like, I don't have to tell you, I got it. I mean, I could have handed it to her and been a nice guy, I suppose, but I was going to give it to you.
I thought you were going to for
I know.
A minute, honestly.
But my plan was to give it to you. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to do that if I could just give it to you. So, but this was, this is one of my favorite videos I've ever taken in a concert.
Would you mind if we went back and did some of those old songs that you guys probably heard?
There we go. This one.
This is making sure you guys were ready.
He did this at Rock Resurrection too.
He did, but we weren't this close. No. And he didn't do this, and this version was way better. I'm just gonna let it play for a bit.
You can hear the crowd. It was really loud when he was singing this.
I think Three Days Grace. Is a very underrated band and very appreciated band. And he's very appreciated for being in that band. I think it was a big loss when he left.
I think there's a lot of love still for him, the band, them between each other.
He's got such a good voice too. I didn't really appreciate his voice until he sang this song in front of us so close. And you could hear the like, sometimes you just hear it in the speakers, right? You're just at a concert and you hear it in the speakers. But you could hear him over the microphone singing this. And I've got a newfound respect for him.
I've always thought he was extremely talented.
And you could just see he was sweating bullets through the whole... I mean, the amount of effort and energy he
it
put
into
the
It got really
concert.
Hot during the sets, though. Like
it did.
When it was between, it was freezing. And then when they were performing, it was burning hot. So I don't blame them for getting as sweaty as they did. Can hear me in there.
Now, these people are all behind me, and I've got the camera facing this way, so I'm not picking up all the people behind me, but
I can hear
how loud it is behind me.
Let me tell you, 10 out of 10 experience not having that woman in my videos anymore. I don't think I'll ever recover from that.
If
the first time we ever saw them.
Got to go back to listen to our Skillet episode and know what we're talking about.
I had so much more fun listening to him because I could actually hear him and not the woman next to me. And also on my video, she wasn't on there, so that was also great.
Nice. I put this up on TikTok, so if you haven't followed us on TikTok, it's Play It Loud.
It's also on my TikTok.
And it's on
my version.
Yeah. But you have a shortened version. I have the whole thing.
No, I have whatever video. I didn't record the whole thing. The best part of the song is when they all come back and they all just, join in.
This is awesome.
I think the best part was I needed the pick-me-up that when they played Riot, because they played a couple other songs after the 3 Days Grace song, so I was like, oh, maybe they're not going to play it. Usually they do, and I'm like, oh, maybe they just won't do it. And then he played that, and I was feeling really hot, and just, like, my neck was hurting, and I was just, like, not in a good spot towards the end of their set list.
We stood there for 5 hours.
And then they played Riot, and I was like, oh, shit. Let me crack the knees and get into this one.
This is my favorite video I've ever taken from a concert. I don't know why. I just, for me, it was amazing to just watch that that concert.
This is the song that I have the video of, and I had to formally apologize to the people of my Snapchat because it, like, 70 people watched that video the night before, at least when I saw it, and I was like, holy shit, this sounds so bad.
Oh, from the Skillet concert?
I could probably pull up a video.
No, that's all right.
Oh, my God, it's so bad.
But this song is... every 3 Days Grace song is
amazing. I wish they
amazing.
Played Pain. Pain is a really good vocal song for him. It's kind of like Never Too Late. Like, the way he sings Pain is 10 out of 10. And he sounds the same. He sounds the same as he did 20 years ago.
His voice lasted. That's the thing that really impressed me about this concert with Saint Asonia. And I have a whole newfound respect for the band and for Adam. Is that his voice never cracked, never wavered. He screamed, you know, he put everything into every song. He had sung the night before, and it sounded so good.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty... I mean, they didn't really spend a whole lot of time talking. He did before the 3 Days Grace songs, and then kind of, you know...
Right, he would just fill people in, like, hey, do you mind if we do a couple of oldies, you know, from my time
Give
with,
some
you know,
intro,
my
like,
band.
I think he did something before Wolf. And it was personable. Like, the guys were all very interactive with the crowd. He got really close a lot playing the guitar. There was a little spot where the speakers were in the front, and there was a little ledge there, like, next to it that stuck out, and he kept up on those.
Standing up on that, which, if you can imagine, when he's standing on that, he's maybe 2.5 feet, maybe 2.5 feet.
Like, we could have held hands from how
close
he was.
And he leaned over a couple times, and that's when he flicked the pick when he was leaned over.
It's just awkward for me because, like, I don't want to make too much eye contact with them because it feels very intimate. So I was, like, trying not to make eye contact all the time. Especially because I was wearing a low-hanging shirt and I just couldn't.
He is this band, though. Like, I understand when people say that person embodies the band. That person embodies that band. It's like, I get it.
That's how I feel about, like, Spencer from Ice. And
Johnny from Nothing More.
Even Ronnie, honestly, like, the bands wouldn't be the same without him.
Like, there's certain bands, like an Alter Bridge. It's not just Miles Kennedy. It's Mark Tremonti, and it's Scott Phillips, and it's Brian Marshall, and, you know, it's everybody. But there are certain bands, Nickelback, it's all the guys,
it'd be
right?
WVH without him. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you're talking about Wolfgang.
Yeah.
But Saint Asonia is Adam Gantier, right? It's just... Yeah, the other three guys did a really good job. I don't know any of their names, right? But his voice and his performance is so energetic, and it's so
real.
Well,
and he's been around for so long that, like, he knows what he's doing. Like, there's not a lot of room for him to not enjoy what he's doing, you know? I think he's got a lot of new and old fans, and I think it's worked in his favor. For the way that people support him, but, like, you hear a song with him and you're like, holy shit.
I think it also helps that the fact that he's been able to be friendly with his old band and
I
go back on
gives,
stage and do things
the
with them.
That's the most respect that I have for people is when they can do that, because they don't always end on good terms at
not
all.
Always. Not
and
always.
They're very friendly. They perform together still. They talk. Like, they're not... He performs songs, obviously, still. Like, he's very much still 3 Days Grace and also Saint Asonia.
I just... Maybe one day he'll get back together with them.
I hope they don't, though, because I appreciate the path that they've, you know, taken since. It's weird not.
What would be cool is if they toured together and they did kind of a combo
thing. That
would
be kind of fun. Yeah. Like, you know? I would love to see something like that. I know Escape the Fate, when, because Ronnie used to sing for Escape the Fate.
Right.
They went on tour with Falling in Reverse for the last Popular Monster. No, not that. That's their headliner. Rockzilla. Rockzilla Part 2 when Summer and I went. Escape the Fate opened. And Ronnie talks about, like, I was in Escape the Fate. That's where I started. And, like, I have a lot of love for
his
those
roots,
guys.
Yeah.
He still is very good with them. And he performs some Escape the Fate songs sometimes when he's on tour. So, you know, when you can have people be friendly and have love for where they started, I think that builds more respect in my eyes, because that means that they're a good person to me. That means they have good character.
Mm-hmm.
Because not a lot of bands do that. Not a lot of bands have good falling outs.
I think if you haven't seen Saint Asonia, or you haven't seen 3 Days Grace, which, by the way, we saw 3 Days Grace last year. That was amazing. We really enjoyed that
really
with Shinedown.
That was a fantastic show.
Oh my God, it's maybe the best concert we've been to in a long time, just because of the energy and how good the concert was.
Everybody was.
It's in my top five of all time. I think all time top five. It was From Ashes to New. It was 3 Days Grace and it was Shinedown, right? There wasn't anybody else that opened. Those three bands, and then we got to see From Ashes to New in Milwaukee in a very small venue.
But it was still fantastic.
Oh, they were amazing. And as of yesterday, we're going to see them again.
I'm excited to see Echo, and I'm excited to actually see Point North this time, because I missed them at Atreyu. So I'm excited to see Point North.
Yeah, well, there's four bands there.
I don't know the other one. Oh, I do know Elijah. I know Elijah.
There's one other band. So there's another band that opens, then it's Elijah, then it's Point North, and
it's
then
Echo.
Point North, and then Smashes to New.
It starts with an L, the other band that's there.
Okay.
I don't know that.
But we got in, so it's at the Sylvia again, and we got balcony seats. I needed a seat this time. So we got balcony seats.
We were at the Rave last time.
No, I'm saying for the last time we were at the Sylvia, I had to sit against the wall because
right.
It makes it a long concert.
And otherwise, the upper deck is like right over the stage. Like, the balcony is right over the stage.
Yeah. You're right there.
Because if you're standing like where we were standing on the floor for Shinedown,
you can look up and it's right there.
He kept looking up and saying, like, oh, I see you guys up there. Like, it's over your head.
And you can't really stand in the balcony because the seats are pretty steep. So you have to sit, which is fine with me, but whatever. So I'm going to give my grade for Saint Asonia in a bit, but one of the best sets I've seen in a long time. Just in an intimate venue, right? Because this is an intimate venue. It's like a House of Blues type thing.
I was surprised that Blackstone Cherry actually like headlined this show. I don't know if they switch off, because I know
they might. Because I just saw recently they had a Saint Asonia on their Instagram. They were above Blackstone Cherry on the.
Maybe they switch off week to week so that marquee. It's just they have more time.
It's
to
possible,
I don't know. But
because they played for about the same amount of time,
I think. Yeah, I think Blackstone Cherry had more songs, but they were very quick.
So they just went song after song after song.
They were very.
It was very clean. There was no talking. There was nothing. It was just
they did
one song.
They
after
did
the other.
Towards the middle. For
a little
Blackstone
bit,
Cherry.
Like very little bit.
I enjoyed the banter that they were having with the crowd. They're very good too. I wish I could hear them a little better.
You could not hear them.
I couldn't hear him singing for a lot
of
the songs, especially the songs that I know it's a way that your brain reacts, but like, if you don't know a song, you're also probably not going to be able to hear anything because you can't pick up on the words. So when it's quiet like that, like, I could barely hear him for this song, and I love this song, and I could barely fucking hear him. It sounds better on the video. You could hear it better on the video. So maybe it was just our ears were shot too.
Yeah, but we should have wore. You said to me, like, I need to get some eargasms.
I said
I should have. I should have brought mine.
Anyway, but yeah, I didn't really think about it, and I didn't.
My ears rang for 3 days after this show.
My ears. I didn't have any issues. I did notice my hearing was a little off the next day because I went for my walk and my headphones were.
We were
in,
right by the speakers,
and it doesn't sound. It didn't hurt my ears when we were there or anything, but I couldn't hear him, and I hated that because
you love this song.
I do love this song. Specifically his version. It's fantastic. He's a great vocalist.
This band is one of my favorite bands of all time.
Let me tell you. Because
they have so much energy and they have so much fun when they play.
That guitarist, so much energy. Yes.
Yeah.
The dude was high kicking, running around.
And the girl next to you.
Oh my God, yeah.
I think she was going to have an orgasm. Oh my God. Yeah. She was so in love with him.
Yeah.
She kept pointing to you. She's like, oh my God, look at him. And she was just, she was physically like getting all turned on just watching him.
I told her, I'm like, don't pass out on me. And she's like, I'll try not to.
It was so funny to watch. She was just getting, she was turned on.
But he had so much energy. I was like, holy shit, this dude is moving and like nonstop.
100%.
I was thinking about that. I'm like.
But he's been with the band since the day. So I saw him in 2008 and he's been with them since day one.
Well, yeah, I guess they were.
They've all been together since high school. So they've all been together. But so it wasn't. So this band, one of the things I appreciate about this band is they've been able to grow from when they first started. They did some really, really good work in their first couple of albums. And then in the middle, they got a little complacent, I think, and they were just kind of putting out albums to put out albums. And there's some decent songs in there. But like when you go back and you hear songs like Reverend Wrinkle and, you know, some of their older stuff, I mean, I don't know how much you listened to them before we went there, but I mean, I've been listening to them since day one. So,
I knew of most of the songs. I didn't know the words necessarily, but it wasn't like the first time I'd heard them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I didn't really listen to
songs like Stay and just some other really big songs.
White Trash Millionaire. I've heard that song before.
Yeah, and it's not one of my
Me and Mary Jane.
Songs.
I've heard
before. Me and Mary Jane's one of their, you know, bigger hits, and that's what they opened with.
It's a great song. I mean, it was very good for their opening because everybody was in it. Everybody that was a fan was singing and chanting and very high energy.
When I saw them originally in 2008. They were this good, but I think their music has gotten a lot better and more refined and more polished over the years and more produced, if you will. But like Screaming at the Sky, it's a fantastic album. They, you know, their latest album. I think it's a fantastic album. But seeing them live, actually now I go back, I pull back what I said originally in the beginning of this podcast. I have seen every one of these. I had seen Black Cherry in 2008. So I hadn't seen them since then.
No, I was going to say, I thought you saw them a long time ago.
I saw them with Theory of a Dead Man and Alter Bridge.
I remember that.
So, but I hadn't seen them in so long, I guess, just like seeing them for the first time. In 2008, I saw them in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
I say this in the best way possible, but they are just a fun bunch of rednecks. They are just so fun.
They are, and they'll tell you that. I mean,
well, he said that. He's like, we're just a bunch of rednecks, like, and this feels like home. This is what I mean by homage. They're not from here. They're not from this area, and they're like, Rockford's like the first place we ever
called
home.
Well, they said that. They were like, look, we've played Rockford several times, and we feel like you guys really make us feel welcome. Now,
they said it's the second home. They said
I haven't seen them
in
Rockford, obviously.
It was the first place they ever played where they felt like it was the second home, because it felt like home. And that's homage. That is what I wanted from Disturbed when we talked about in the last episode. That's what I was hoping for with Disturbed. Just that acknowledgement of like
paying homage to the fans and all of they
and the places
I get
they
that.
Love, because there's groups that will make you feel like your hometown is the shit. And I've had that happen a lot with
Do you
concerts.
Think that's fake though?
No. Because it doesn't happen at every concert. If it happened at every concert, I'd be like, "Oh,
we were in Milwaukee, and one of the shows we saw in Milwaukee, they said that. They said, was it Asking Alexandria that said that? It was like, look, every time we come to Milwaukee, we feel like you guys, you know.
I think it might have been.
I think it was Asking Alexandria. Like, every time we play the rave, you guys are amazing, that sort of thing. And I guess you can always say that. Now, Nickelback said that about Chicago.
But Chicago's fucking awesome, so, like,
right.
I get it.
I mean, they've played Chicago a lot. I mean, I've seen them just in Chicago.
You can tell when a band likes
I've seen
a
them in Allstate Arena. I've seen them at Ravinia. I've seen them at Northerly Island. I saw them twice at Tinley Park. Right? So that's four.
Was it Allstate that we went to?
Mm-hmm. That yeah. Was now, we've seen them. We saw them in Missouri. I've seen them in St. Louis. I've seen them in Las Vegas. I mean, I've seen them a lot of different places. And they always say Chicago is one of the best towns that they go to. We gave them a pretty good reaction. Like, we supported them pretty good this last time they were in. And I've got a video I put on TikTok of all the light show during one of their songs. It kind of gives you chills a little bit to see how much support that band gets. But going back to Blackstone Cherry.
I was like, reel it in, big man. Reel back the crush. He's gonna go. That's really funny. He's gonna go kiss his poster later.
Well, I've got Nickelback up on the wall here on their vinyl, so their Feed Machine. I saw the Feed Machine tour 4 times. It's one of my favorite albums. But Blackstone Cherry, I can't say enough about those guys. And his voice is so
good. Like he has to try.
No,
so hard
he's
either.
Like one of those guys that picks up a guitar in the backyard and just starts to sing, and he's got a great voice. And you're like, wow, if that guy had a band behind him, he'd be amazing.
And the mountain man behind the drum set, Jesus, that dude is huge. Yeah,
big beard.
Yes, big hair. Yes. He was getting frustrated in the beginning because something was off with his drums.
I think they weren't. So what was happening is they weren't tightened, mm-hmm. and everything was kind of falling apart. And so the guy, if you watched, the guy came up behind him and he started tightening everything up and giving him extra sticks and so forth. And
oh my God, he was so cute when he's playing his bongos for Right Trash Millionaire. I was like, oh, you're so cute. Little Albert Einstein behind the drum set.
So to me, that venue is perfect for that band because it's not too big.
I think they prefer that kind of venue though. Like
some bands do.
That's their.
Some bands absolutely do, and it's perfect for them. Like if they were to play at the Forge, I think it'd be a little small for them. But this venue is perfect.
Don't and hate me, but I think so the Riv good. Would be good for them too. Like the Riv Bottom Lounge type.
Bottom Lounge might be a little small for them.
Maybe.
You know,
Apollo was pretty small on the bottom floor though. They just didn't have the balcony seating.
You mean the Rave?
No, the Apollo Theater.
Oh, you mean on the bottom? Yeah. Well, we were standing. They had the balcony upstairs.
It's probably as
nobody
big
was
as
standing. By the way, up there, everybody
I
was sitting.
I wouldn't either. I mean, shit. If I had a seat, I'd be sitting too.
Okay, so let's go back. Any Given Sin, I'm going to give their effort a B. I think A- on the last time I saw them. I think that's what I
gave
them. I
gave them a B+. I think it was pretty crisp for the most part. I think.
Good show. I'm certain if you have not seen them, go.
I don't
see
think
them.
It was.
They
his
are
best.
On tour right now with, they're doing their own headlining small tour, and then
they're at a bunch of festivals this year too.
And they're doing some festivals, and they're touring with some other bands. They're just doing a lot of work this year.
We're gonna see them again, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't think so?
No,
I thought we were.
It's possible. We're doing a lot of shows this year. I did 23 last year. I think you did upwards of maybe 27 or 28 shows last year. You did a lot. I think we'll surpass that mark this year. We might surpass that mark by August, but we're doing a lot this year. And so I give them a B, give them a B+. Santa Sonia, A+. 100% A+. I think they were phenomenal.
I'd give them like a solid A. I think if it was.
And I think just because of Adam's energy and how good he is live, that's why I give him a solid A+.
I think, yeah, I mean.
Maybe an A because of the meet and greet. We take a little bit off, but I don't know.
Their performance is good, though. I mean, I'd probably.
The performance itself, A+.
Probably give Blackstone Cherry an A as well.
100%.
Because even though I didn't know all the songs.
A-
like,
because
it was
I couldn't
fun.
Hear them in the beginning.
Yeah, I couldn't hear them.
First two barely. Songs, could barely hear them. Then by the third song, the mic popped in and boom, I could hear them. So maybe an A-, but that's a technical thing. That's on their staff. But the performance that they give, high energy, great music. If you have not heard Blackstone Cherry, which
I think
you've been living under a rock.
I think
if
one
you
of
haven't.
My favorite things from that concert was when he did that cover, and he like, I was hoping we would call his bluff. He's like, if y'all don't sing, like we're gonna restart this shit. Like I'm not kidding. Like I'll restart it. And he did. He's like, that fucking sucked. He's like, you guys sucked.
and then he started it again, and everybody started singing, and it was good. So we've got strong B, strong A for both bands. Would you go see Any Given Sin again?
Yeah.
Would you go see Santa Sonia again?
I think so.
We've seen them twice this year.
Probably wouldn't do another meet and greet, but I'd probably go see them again.
I might if it was different, right?
Maybe.
Like if it was different. And then I'd go see. I was when I was buying the meet and greets, I actually thought it was for Blackstone Cherry, and it turned out to be for Santa Sonia. I'd like to meet the guys from Blackstone Cherry. I'd like to get them on here, just talk to them. And talk to them about how they, they're basically in a world of hard rock or rock and roll, and they're Southern rock. And so how do they pull that off? How do they cross over to like an Octane world being a Southern rock band?
They're on Octane quite a bit.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So,
but I think Octane's also learning to adapt with how
they're some playing some wild shit lately.
They've been playing there's one song called We Got the Moves by it's like some electric band, and it fucking bops.
I mean, they're playing Hardy's Rockstar.
Yeah,
right?
I don't really like that song, unfortunately. I like Hardy, but I don't
I didn't like when Megan Stallion, the Stallion, and
I didn't mind that song, but they were playing it like every single.
I'm not a fan of that shit, only because it's not really rock and roll, right? It's not really hard rock. It's you're promoting that individual, I think, anyway. But as far as Black Stone Cherry, they're crossing over into, you know, that hard rock territory or that rock and roll territory, being a Southern rock band, and I don't think they get enough due. I think if they need a little bit more exposure. They've been around for a long time. I did not know that their logo, which I was telling Ryan, it kind of looks like, it's a cherry, right? But it kind of looks like a Pac-Man, like an angry Pac-Man.
Tony? Yeah.
Yeah, his name is Tony. I didn't know that. I didn't know Tony! His name was Tony. Right. Yeah, I didn't know his name was Tony. That's awesome.
He's got a fat cigar in his mouth.
So go check out their logo. Anything else?
No.
It was awesome. I really enjoyed this show. We've got Beartooth coming up next episode. Our next concert review is going to be Beartooth. Who are they playing with?
Sleep Theory, Invent Animate is something one of like the openers.
But Sleep Theory
they
kind of
scared
Beartooth.
Me a little bit, I'm not going to lie. and then The Plot and You is opening right before Beartooth.
Okay. So, well.
Should be a good show, though.
2 out of 4 ain't bad. See you next time, everybody. Thanks.